As I invite you to join me with our prayer of illumination as we prepare to hear the scriptures this morning, will you join me in the power of the Holy Spirit? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So this morning, scripture comes to us from the prophet Haggai. Some might say Haggai. I did not take Hebrew, so I will just say it boldly and confidently as Haggai. And we're going to read from the second chapter, verses 1 through 9. And you are welcome to follow along with your own Bibles or simply read with me and listen. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, 'Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of the hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, the days are surely coming where this church year will end and a new one will begin. And as we prepare to move into the season of Advent, we lean into the prophetic word of how to prepare ourselves well. So as we hear this word about the new construction and the desire to rebuild, God, open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to see what you would do in and through us to your great splendor. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are in this in-between season, that we have 3 weeks until Advent begins. And so it's the last 3 weeks of the church year, and the rhythm of the church year really does give structure to us as a worshiping community. It keeps us accountable and helps us hear the stories again. And sometimes we say the days are surely coming, like there's this foreshadowing, this looking into the future of what is God doing in our midst? How can we prepare for what God wants for us right now? But how many of you have actually read some of these minor prophetic words, particularly the book of Haggai? Some of us, but not all of us, right? And then probably, in all honesty, you probably lay like, where would I even find it in the Bible? Right? So you would go to the table of contents and you would look for this and then you would flip to the page. And it's a very short prophetic word. And one of the beautiful things and the challenging things about these minor prophets and the words that are recorded is that there was a lot of confusion about who was actually speaking on behalf of God. Prophets held that role of speaking on behalf of God. But prophets also intervened on behalf of people to God. So an intermediary between what God desired and what the people were doing and trying to redirect and organize them into this faithful life that God desired for them, right? And so these words would be captured, and if it came to fruition, then it was validated as being actually of God, right? And that means for us, this has been validated to us, and we hold on to it as formative to our faith as a Christian community. These would have been the words and are the words that our Jewish sisters and brothers hold at the heart of their faith and being. And so do we, because that is where we come from. So where is this writing? I'm always going to ask you to read ahead and read behind. Read the whole book at one time if you can. Swallow the whole message and then go back and focus in. We can't just pick a text out of the Bible and have it make sense to us without understanding when it was written, who wrote it, who was going to hear the words, and what is it teaching us about the nature of God, right? So let's put ourselves into this place of history. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the story of God's people, God did all the creation, and we know that there was a remnant that remained with Noah, but it was really the beginning with Abram, where God called Abram to journey to a foreign land and made these long-standing promises. And then that led to Isaac and Jacob, but ultimately led to slavery in Egypt under the powers of Pharaoh. And they were there for a very long time. And God said, I hear the cry of my people and brings them out. And it's Moses who does that, but it's Joshua who takes them into the promised land. And then they had judges that kind of organized them. But then they cried out and they said, give us a king. And that's how we end up with Saul and David and Solomon. And it's David that unified all of the tribes of Israel in the promised land into these kingdoms. But those kingdoms were conquered, my friends. And during the time of David and Solomon, particularly Solomon, temple, a permanent resting place for God, was built in Jerusalem. But when the powers came from far east, this land was conquered and the Jewish people were taken into exile. They were taken from their homelands. They were taken from their center of worships. And they had to figure out, what does this life look like living with God when we can't adhere to our religious practices in the temple? And see, this beautiful wealth that was in the temple, Solomon, you read about it and you hear how beautiful it would have been in the wealth. All that wealth was also taken away. So what is left? They knew that their temple had been destroyed, but yet they have this promise that it will be rebuilt, that what is to come will be far better than what they had before. And all of this already belongs to God. And so what do they do with it, right? It says, I have a plan to rebuild that which has been destroyed. And it points us right now in this season to other places in Scripture. So they would be holding on to this as they were going to be returning. And what is this rebuilt temple going to look like? And we know that when the temple was rebuilt, it didn't look anything like the first rendition. And even the second rendition is destroyed. But it points us to Jesus. Because there are times where we hear Jesus say, destroy the temple, and in 3 days it will be rebuilt. And they challenged him. These religious leaders challenged him, said, it took us years to build the first temple. What do you mean it's going to take 3 days? Right? Because their minds were set on the actual construction process, the materials needed, the tools needed, the sand, the buckets, the shovel, the water, the glue, the bricks, whatever it is that they would need to rebuild it. They were thinking about earthly things. But what Jesus was doing was pointing them to spiritual things. Because, see, the reality is Jesus was telling us that he was going to be the temple, that his body was going to be destroyed and rebuilt in 3 days. Friends, what does that make you think of? Come on, y'all. Y'all know the answer. Easter, right? Makes us think of Easter because we know we're on the other side. We know how this story turns out, right? Because we know that Jesus suffered, he died, he was laid in a tomb, and in 3 days he rose from the dead, right? So that is the spiritual meaning that we have. And so for us, we can think about the brick and mortar tangibility of building the kingdom of God here on earth. And sometimes we look at our church building as being the locus of where God is. I was in ministry management training and we were talking about being good stewards of buildings from trustees' perspectives and risk management and how do we tend well to what God has entrusted into our care. And the comment was made that when people drove by a church that was well tended that they could see from the outside, the comment was, wow, those people really love their church. They really love God because they're taking care of it well. But then you go farther down and then you see a church that maybe is crumbling, where the garden, the flower beds are overgrown and you wonder what's going on there. And I can say right now, if we walked through our building, we could probably come up with a punch list of about 1,000 things that need to be done in order to make sure this space was at its tip-top condition. Am I right? Do you guys ever walk through your house and be like, man, I really need to paint that wall? Or, wow, where did that stain on the carpet come from? And I'm going to have to break out the little green machine, you know, because I have little evil children that walk around and they drink their juice everywhere. And I'm not saying it's all the children's fault. I have spilled coffee everywhere. But sometimes what happens is we get so accustomed to that environment that we don't even see those things anymore. We're blinded to that. And sometimes we need to have a fresh set of eyes or a new perspective to actually open our eyes to see things in a different way. Now, I'm not going to walk through your homes and tell you what you need to do. I know I have a list of things I need to do, but I also, do we do that here as a church? Do we take care of our church in the same way we take care of our homes? And that's a question. I don't have an answer, but it's something to think about. Because in our homes, that's the center of who we are. It's our space to go to find respite and to care and love and build relationships. And yet the church is also supposed to be a place of care and love and nurturing of relationships. But here's the caveat to that. The church building truly is not the temple of our worship. It is Jesus. Jesus is the church. So where are those blind spots where maybe we haven't been attuned to Scripture? Where is that place where maybe we haven't or shared patience to other people we've interacted with? Where are those places where maybe we haven't recognized the needs that we have the ability to affect? So I wonder, in this prophetic word, with the promise of what is coming to be better than what they saw before, what that means for us. Because if Jesus is at the heart of who we are, and as we remember that, okay, in Advent we celebrate the birth of a Savior, but Advent is also a season to prepare ourselves for when Christ comes again. Because the days are surely coming when that is our reality. And will we be ready? Right? Will we be ready? So when we hear about shaking the trees and shaking the seas and maybe letting things go in a way that we can be opened up to what God is asking of us. You know, I love my audiobooks, and right now the book of the month for book club is Feathers of Hope. It's a departure from, you know, some of the readings that we've done. But something that I absolutely love that has been repeated in that book a couple of times is when we have our hands clenched or we're holding on so tightly, what is that keeping us from? And so in that book, it says, open my hands that I may receive what God is gifting unto me. What do I need to let go in order to experience the glory of God's intention for me, for us, for this community of faith, for the world? Am I like this holding on? Or am I okay with maybe releasing it a little bit to have my hands open that we may receive? So friends, in this pre-season of Advent, where are you like this? And will the Holy Spirit of God rebuild and reshape and encourage you to do that you can experience the peace that is promised, that you can experience the grace and mercy of God, because ultimately, through Jesus, we are being rebuilt from the inside out. Let's not be like this, not allowing us to be transformed by what God wants for us, but may we open our hands to receive the grace that transforms us to eternal life. For that is the latter splendor to which we have been promised. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.